Packers. We watch them play. When they score a touchdown, we shout to Ray.
Outside is Edgar Bennett. Here's Brett looking to the end zone. Brett dancing around. Brett to the end zone. Touchdown, Andre Rison. Got knocked down as he caught the ball, but he held on, and the Packers have gone out in front by two touchdowns.
Another great play. Ciao tutti. Today, from the benches of Packers Talk meets IPFN from Italy. My name is Sal, and alongside me are Matteo, my usual co-host, and your usual hosts, Ross and Ryan. Hi, guys.
Hi, Sal. Hi, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Good to be talking.
So, Ross, Ryan, did you know there were Packers fans in Italy?
Well, we kind of assumed that they're Packers fans all over, but what you guys are doing is very exciting, and it's cool that you guys are into American football.
So, Matteo wanted to explain to your listeners why we ended up making a Packers podcast in Italian. So, Matteo.
Actually, that started like for fun. And we are a Packers fan. There is a Packers fan in Italy. American football is like, is not so popular in Italy. I'm not going to lie about that. So, here is pretty much just soccer. But there is a bunch of guys that like American football and are proud to lose some sleep and watching like the Sunday night and Monday night football when here is like 2 a.m. and don't sleep all the night and then go to work like zombies. So actually, I don't know Salvatore for a long time because it is like probably like 7 months. And I think the first time I talked with him was just after the Seattle game.
I thought you didn't want to mention it.
No, it's just after Seattle game, and we were trying to find a reason why we lost that game. Actually, we couldn't find a reason to, because we lost that game. And then we start talking on the phone, and we start listening like the podcast that here in Algeria are not that famous. We start listening about Jason Wilde and the Cheese TV podcast, and then the Packers Talk podcast too. And then we decided, well, why we don't do it by ourselves? And then we upload the episode, so we don't talk on the phone. We just talk on the internet. We upload the episode, and probably we can find 3 or 4 crazy people that listen to us. And that's how everything started. It was like I think it was April or March. It was beginning of April, because it was just before the NFL draft. And we actually had really much fun doing it, because we were able to interview guys like Brian Carvo, Bill Johnson, R. Nagler, John Rehor, Wes Otkiewicz, and you guys now. So it's pretty fun, actually. So that's how everything started.
Well, that's awesome to hear.
How, obviously, American football isn't all that popular over there. How do you watch it? Is it on Italian television? Do you have to find different ways to
no,
find it?
Okay. Right now it's pretty easy. Okay. American football was like quite famous like during the 80s. There was like an Italian TV showing that. And then they like disappeared for many years. I think Salvatore, I'm right. Yeah. And then there was the cable TV started like in the 90s. And you were able to watch like one game per week, 2 games per week. And then when I started watching it, it was around 2003, 2002, and there was like 3 or 4 games on the cable TV, and then I started watching streaming, illegal streaming. Okay. And now we are lucky, because I think from 2008, I think that was the first year, we have this, there is the NFL Game Pass, and we are able to watch the game online. And every game, whenever you want, live or recorded. And so right now, it's pretty easy. It's expensive, but easy, actually.
And we're not pirates anymore.
Okay. Yeah, we're not pirates anymore, yeah. Exactly. We simply have bad words against the internet connection. That can happen, so especially during the big game. So, no, we pretty much doing everything online.
When you do that stuff online, is there like a... you guys get together at someone's house, or is there a bar that likes to show American football? How
no,
is this set up?
It's everything by ourselves. Me and Salvatore just live like three hours from each other. But it's, you're lucky if you have a friend that he has the same passion of you here. Actually, people is making fun because they like American football. They think I'm crazy when they see me with like the Packers jersey working in like, my small town. They look at me like, ah, you're weird.
And you are, actually.
Yeah, we're different. We're different because we like American football here.
I even played American football for a while here in Italy, actually. I was fat at the time, and I was a left guard, and I sucked, so I stopped it. So, guys, how fired up are you for the upcoming training camp?
We're really excited. I live in Minnesota, in the States, and Ryan lives in Wisconsin. He lives in Milwaukee, which is about an hour and a half away from Green Bay, and I'm not going to make the first practice, but the second one on Friday and the third one on Saturday, I'm going to come down and, you know, weather permitting, we're going to check out practice in Green Bay. So we are very excited because now that he's, you know, moved away, we don't always get to hang out and watch the Packers practice and a new season start up is a lot of fun, you know, especially for us.
Yeah, I'm excited as well to finally see a little bit of action going on the field and, instead of just off-season speculation and, you know, waiting, hoping guys aren't getting in trouble in their free time in the off-season, which we've had a little bit of a problem with. But, yeah, it'll be good to see guys on the field and no more speculation about, you know, how rookies are going to do, how different things are going to go. We can actually finally see it playing out on the practice field.
It's like that you wait the start of the training camp for all the off-season. Wait the start of the preseason, and when the preseason started, I can't take this anymore. I wanted the regular season to start again. I think that it's funny because I can wait the start of, I think it's on Wednesday they're gonna start, and actually when they train, actually I'm at work, so I had to scroll down by Twitter and find out every news that coming out from the camp. So I had to read Jason Wilde and the other blocker that they're over there and find out who's doing good, who's doing bad.
Oh, we're the same way.
Okay, that's comforting, actually.
And I'm sure that you guys are, you know, that kind of stuff comes in at way different times for us than it does to you. Do you get a lot of big football news in the middle of the night?
Yeah, I usually get up in the middle of the night with the phone ringing with a notification from Bleacher Report app or something like that. So it's actually fun, but when I wake up in the morning, then I don't remember what I read during the night, so I have to catch up.
No, I'm not that, because I think my wife wouldn't be so happy about that. So when I woke up, I check the news and see what happened.
So we actually had the chance to talk with, as Matteo mentioned before, some media guys follow the Packers, and everybody seems very confident about the new season. Even Aaron Nagler of GZ TV was fired up for this coming season. Are you so confident about the new season?
Oh, I'm very confident. I think the Packers are, if not the favorite in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, they're one of the two or three favorites. I think the offense is not going to miss a beat. The offense is going to once again be one of the, you know, two or three best in the league as long as Aaron Rodgers is, as long as he's healthy. And I think you're going to get at least a little bit of improvement on the defense. And that's really where it's going to hinge on. But I think I'm confident. I think if Aaron Rodgers plays the whole season and stays healthy, I think it's, the baseline for the season I think is pretty high. I think the worst I could see the Packers doing this season with Rodgers healthy is like a 10 or 11 win season, and a lot of other bad things would have to go wrong for that to be the case. But I'm very confident. I see pretty good things for the team happening.
I agree. I mean, you know, I think we're, as far as the guys that make the odds, you know, we're the shortest odds. You make the least amount of money betting on Green Bay to win the Super Bowl, so we technically are the favorite. You know, I really expect a 13-win season. Last year it was 12-4, and I felt like they might have, they probably shouldn't have lost that Buffalo game. I felt like last year's team was a 13-3 type of squad and a Super Bowl contender, and sure enough, they were. They did contend. They obviously didn't make it, to the big game. You guys mentioned, that you guys kind of got going after Seattle. And, I think that this team's very good. I'm not that concerned about the losses. I love Tremont Williams as a player, but he was getting older. Devon House was, I thought, also an okay player. But at the same time, I'm more excited about the additions, I guess, than I am of the subtractions. And having everybody back on an offense like that is exciting. So, I am certainly excited for this season. I do view the Packers as not only the, not only the NFC favorites, but I think they're the best team in football, and we'll have to, see how that goes. And obviously that's why they play the games, but I couldn't be more confident in this group than I am.
I recently had the chance to rewatch all the games from the 2011 season, and I had a lot of free time, actually. And I think that this year's offense is even better than that offense that had to put those numbers up because of the terrible job that was doing the defense. So I think that in a certain way, this offense has the chance to be the best ever, even better than that one, but won't be necessary because hopefully our defense this year won't be as bad as that one. Anyone agrees?
We hope.
It would be very hard to be as bad as that defense.
It was painful to watch, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think
that even 5 years later.
I think that year I was in San Diego, and when the Packers play in San Diego, so I went to watch that game. I think the offense was like manic. It was so nice to see it. I think we put like 35 to 40 points. And actually, we were just about to lose the game because the defense couldn't stop anyone. And it was, at the time, probably there is a few people that was just worried about that defense because we couldn't believe that the defense that the year before won the Super Bowl could be so bad. But actually, they were really so bad. So, and I don't think this year defense is that bad. And they show improvement after the middle of last season. They moved up Clay Matthews, think saved the season. Okay, and also some jobs. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what the new defensive back could do, like Demarius Randall and Quinton Rollins. I'm curious to see how they're gonna use Sean Richardson, and I'm excited for this season. So we are of course we are the favorite to win it all. I was having a dinner last night with a friend that is a huge Broncos fan, and he said, "You're the favorite this year." And yeah, you cannot deny that.
Yeah, it would be nice for a change to have Rodgers healthy the entire season, as you said before, because I think last time he was healthy for the entire season, it was 3 years ago.
No, I mean, that's right. You had the calf thing, where he was kind of still throwing the ball well, but certainly hobbling around last year. And then obviously, 2 years ago was the collarbone where Matt Flynn had to come in and save the season. So you're exactly right. The 2011 season, when he won MVP, that was the first time that he won MVP. That was the only time that he was healthy for the whole season out of the last 3 years.
Going back to training camp, which guys do you like best to make the team? I like undrafted guys because I love their stories. The fact that they weren't drafted but kept on and had a chance and now have to make all of it. And, for example, I love Adrian Coxon's story, this guy from Stony Brook, if I recall correctly. And as a wide receiver, he was recruited by a big school but then left to go and take care of his father that was sick and then died. And now he has a chance at an NFL team, and I think he is a long shot because the position is quite crowded. But which of the undrafted guys think will make the team, Ryan?
Well, I know Ross would like to talk about a specific guy, so I'll go in a different direction. But Ladarius Gunter, the cornerback out of Miami, the undrafted guy, like you said, I think he's got a shot just because of the lack of proven guys in the defensive backfield at cornerback specifically. I think he has a pretty good shot if he can show up into training camp and surprise some people. I think that's a pretty good place to start if you're looking for an undrafted guy to maybe make the roster, just because at the position group there's an opening there.
Yeah, he would also be the tallest guy among our cornerbacks, because all the other guys are 5'10", 5'11". He's 6'1", if I recall correctly. So his size will help. Maybe it's a little bit slow.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Ross, who'd you like?
Well, I Ryan is right. I actually went my first year of school and have long been a fan of North Dakota State. And John Crockett, it was our tailback for the last four seasons, and really was a feature back in the senior season. Ran for almost 2,000 yards. Always had big games or big games in the big games against the bigger schools. And he really is just a special talent. I mean, there's a lot of guys. They have North Dakota State has a long tradition of outstanding offensive line play. So there are a lot of backs of different talent levels succeed. But John really is a special talent, and I think that his ability to contribute out of the backfield and his ability to make guys miss. And also his durability. He was also a very durable player during his time at NDSU. I really think he's going to be able to slide right in to that third running back spot. I know a lot of guys like Rajon Neal, but John Crockett's a better player, and I think people are going to see that in camp and in preseason. And also, I think he's almost a lock to at least make the practice squad. So I would expect. John Crockett to be around the Green Bay Packers for at least, the next 12 months.
Any surprise cuts that you might think of? I mean, yesterday I was doing my prediction for the 53-man roster, and I'm way ahead of time, so, as you can imagine. But I think that John Kuhn is in danger of a spot. I mean, I think it's useless to bring two fullbacks in today's NFL on 53-man rosters. And the Packers had this investment made in Ripkowski. Of course, Kuhn is a fan favorite, and everybody loves him, and even Rodgers likes him. But do we really still need him?
I don't think we do, especially considering how well Eddie Lacy pass blocks now and how effective he is out of the backfield. You can always use a guy, probably not Richard Rodgers, because he certainly didn't seem to be a very strong blocker, but you could use a guy like Backman, a guy like Corliss, to drop and lead block if you need to. And Eddie Lacy has even said that he prefers to run out of single back sets. I just don't, I'm not even sure they need to carry one, but it's clear that after drafting Ripkowski that this is a team that wants to carry a fullback. It was ridiculous that year that we won the Super Bowl. We had three fullbacks on the 53, which yeah. was, nobody really understood that. So I think you're right. I think that Kuhn is in danger. If I had to bet or put money down, I would bet that he makes the team. But I'm going to be really, really irritated if they have to cut a good defensive back or an extra pass rusher or one of the six wide receivers Nelson, Cobb, Adams, Aberderis, Janice, and Montgomery. Obviously, Montgomery's not getting cut, but I'm just saying, if one of those six doesn't get kept because we have to keep two fullbacks, I'm going to be a little bit irritated.
Yeah, I think that you mentioned one of the most followed training camp battle will be the battle for the third running back. It's going to be like between John Crockett and Rajon Neal and I think Alonso something.
Alonso
yep. Harris. And of course, I saw the special on the NFL and the Crockett coming out. But I remember that Rajon Neal last year impress a lot of people during the preseason. So it's going to be a fun to watch. And I know that Salvatore has a favorite one in on the outside linebacker battle. And I think from that spot could be one of the surprises. And Deron Elliott came out last year. And Adrian Hubbard is another good story. And I know Salvatore want to talk about someone else.
Well, I actually like James Wonters, if I spelled it correctly. Obviously, he's a smart kid because he went to Stanford. So, but I think he has a good chance of making the team. And I like him even better than Hubbard. What do you guys think?
What impressed me the most about James Wonters was, you know, he really, for an outside linebacker in a 3-4, is a force against the run. And you know, you talk about those outside linebackers, and well, how many sacks did he have? You know, what's his pass rush productivity? Everybody throws the ball, blah blah blah, but this defense's biggest weakness is, you know, is run defense. And so if you have a guy like Wonters, there could be situations where you bring on first down, you bring Wonters and Perry in to play outside linebacker and slide Matthews inside, and you're not even playing Julius Peppers on first down, and you can save him for pass rush situations. And if he is a, you know, a plus run defender or something like that, he'd be a guy where, you know, it would be useful to have someone to come in on rundowns and just shut down the run. And then if he develops pass rush, great.
Changing subject, you before mentioned the tight ends, Rogers and Corliss, and everybody seems to freak out after news of Corliss' arrest. Are you worried about that position? I mean, who cares? Okay, maybe this is too much, but I think they can make up for the loss of Corliss. That will be, I think, for at least 4 weeks. With Rogers and even with some other guys. I mean, I don't really like Corliss. That's the fact. Do you?
No, I mean, he is what he is. I think that any potential to be a great player was lost when he shredded his knee. You know, that crazy athleticism that you saw when he was part of Penn State's program, you know, that made him kind of a... They really thought he was going to be another Finley type, where he had the athleticism to maybe not block right away, but at least be helpful, you know, in the passing game and kind of stretching the seam and things like that. But after he shredded his knee, he just sort of became just a guy. And we have one of the best, I know it's mean to say, but Richard Rodgers is one of the best just a guys you're ever going to have, because his hands are so strong. So if you have receivers like we do, you know, they can play really well and get open, and people are going to have to kind of leave the tight end alone. So if you need a guy to run 12 yards down the field and turn around and just make sure he catches it, that's perfect for Richard Rodgers. I mean, that's his exact skill set, is he catches everything that you throw to him. And you saw that, you saw him lean on him in that way in the Detroit game, that week 17 game. Yeah. He would just go out, turn around, Rodgers would whip it at him, he'd catch it, someone would drill him, and it was a first down. And I think that's kind of maybe what all this offense probably needs out of a tight end. And yeah, would it be cool to have a Jimmy Graham or whatever running down the seam? Sure. But there's only one football to go around.
I think people is more scared about the Richard Rodgers, what we have seen in the first Detroit game when he wasn't able to block the guy, and I think Lacy got some for safety. So I think that's the part of the game where he has to improve more.
Yeah, that's certainly something he has to get better at. And you would expect him, Rodgers, to get better, at least a little bit better, you know, as he gets a little older. As a pretty raw rookie, he did okay, I thought. And I think he got a little better as the season went on. But yeah, that early Detroit game, he did not look very good. But I'm not really worried about the tight end position overall. You know, if you lose Corliss for 4 games or whatever it ends up being, I think he can make up for it. He's not such an important part of the offense that that it's really going to hurt, I don't think. I think he is pretty good in the as a blocker in the run game. They can put him back in the backfield and be a lead blocker if they need to. But I just think they can get creative while he's gone, and you know, find other ways to make the offense work. But I feel pretty good about the tight end position, considering how solid the receivers and the running backs are. I think you're just fine if tight end is your weakest skill position on offense. So yeah. And which the Packers is. So I think they're going to be just fine. I like the combination of Corliss and Rodgers at tight end. I think they both bring positives to the offense. But like Ross said, we don't really need a big dynamic, you know, a Jimmy Graham, a Rob Gronkowski. We don't really need one of those guys the way this offense is built. That would be, you know, just we already have, you know, a pretty good number of skill position players to say that we need a guy like a Rob Gronkowski to make the offense perfect. Well, that's picking nits. You're complaining about something that's pretty solid already. But I think the tight end position is going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, I think we pretty much know that the offense is going to put us some numbers. So it probably we are not that concerned about that that position, because I think the most concerned about if the defense can stop the people what they need.
Exactly, Matteo. Speaking about the defense, I hated Don Capers in that certain game that we're not going to talk about. I think he tends to make the same mistake over and over again. And I think John Rehor a few days ago talked about this on our show. Third and long, defend. I mean, don't use the prevent defense and let them close and take the first down. Now that McCarthy has given up play calling and is now kind of supervising all of the team, do you think he'll kind of take care of this too? I mean, will he talk to Capers in certain aspects of the game and tell him not to do stupid things, Ross?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's that simple, just don't do stupid stuff, but yeah, I mean, I think that is going to be a big part of it, and obviously, you know, defensive coordinators, it's almost like it's good, you know you have a good one if you aren't complaining about him. You know, no one ever says nice things about the defensive coordinator, you're only ever complaining, so if you're not talking about him, it's probably for the best. But I get it, and I understand that, you know, McCarthy obviously let Coach Slocum go, which was probably necessary. You know, we haven't had very good special teams over the last couple of years. And then, two, you know, I think that it was important for him to have a hand in the defense and you know, get to know the defensive guys better and just provide, you know, his leadership for all three phases and get his vision for what he wants the team to be in all three phases. So I understand why he did what he did, and I appreciate it, and I think it's going to be helpful.
Yeah, in one of the shows, I think it was during minicamp, there was this interview by Mike McCarthy, which he said that now he sits in defensive meetings more and he takes part in defense. And Matteo and I thought, come on, you were the head coach. You didn't do that before. I mean, are the things in a franchise so divided? The offense only takes care of the offense and the defense only of the defense. I mean, they just separated.
I think we thought that he's the head coach, so he's the one who he has to take care of the team. Yeah, he has to supervise everything, but pretty much that wasn't like that, because of course like Don Capers as the last thing and everything he showed that. And right now I think since if he doesn't win, he has to go home, and of course he's gonna lose his job. I think it's natural that he has to supervise everything. So from our point of view, but we didn't believe that he wasn't just more involved in the defense or in the special team on the other stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. It's going to be good that he is sitting in on more meetings with, you know, different parts of the team. I can't stand when you go into the three-man rush on defense when you only rush three guys and you just sit back. I hate it whenever that gets called. So hopefully McCarthy feels the same way and can get his input on more things, specifically on the defense and the special teams. But yeah, I agree with you guys. You would think that he would still be sitting in on meetings and for everything, and not just focusing on the offense, but it sounds kind of like that's what he did in the past. And I'm pretty excited to get, you know, to see what kind of differences McCarthy's going to make on the defense and the special teams now that he's taking a little bit more interest in those areas. I think it's going to be positive.
Are you guys actually scared that he's not going to play the call anymore. Okay? So supposedly Tom Clemens is going to call plays right now. Are you be scared that he's going to be Rodgers? I mean, like the commander of everything, and he's going to call in the plays. And if there is someone to blame, it's going to be Tom Clemens. Are you scared that it could be a situation like that? Or you have full trust on Aaron Rodgers and doing that?
I think the new situation is going to work out just fine. I think Clemens is a more than capable play caller. He knows the offense really well. He knows Aaron Rodgers really well. I think it's going to work just fine. And I think Rodgers already did a lot of adjustments and things at the line, you know, that McCarthy didn't really have a hand in. They do a lot of plays where there are options, and then Rodgers makes the call at the line. And I think you're going to kind of see status quo with that kind of stuff. I think you're going to see the similar things where Clements will put in a package of plays, and Rodgers will make a decision at the line when he sees what the defense puts in front of him. So I don't think we might see little differences in play calling tendencies, but I don't think there's going to be a drop off in offensive effectiveness just because Clements is calling the plays now instead of McCarthy. I think Rodgers being the common factor is going to cover up a lot of differences in what the play calling would be.
Okay, that's make me feel better. And going back, since we are talking about that, on the last championship game, do you have any problem with the the mechanic was thrown out of the bus because he called the three run play for Lacy, and you think Rodgers could have changed the play, or he couldn't have the possibility to change the play?
Well, I mean, I know he has autonomy to change plays, but I don't think that was...
But because I didn't have a problem with calling three run plays in that situation, because I think in that situation, but obviously it was wrong, obviously, because we end up losing the game.
Well, it drives me nuts when they run left, because the only guy that can't run block on the whole line is David Bakhtiari.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is a great run blocker, and you just run left. I don't know if the point is, well, we're going to run behind Sitton, but it's like, yeah, well, if the defensive end is ramming David Bakhtiari into Josh Sitton, then that's not helpful.
So you didn't have a problem with the play calling at all, right?
Well, I mean, you can run. That's kind of a personal thing. I just wish they would have not run left three times. That's not, you know, you have the same thing with Richard Rodgers, you know, not a really strong run blocker. So when you're at your own goal line, why are you allowing him to be why are you putting it on him to not allow a safety if he can't run block? And why are you putting it on David Bakhtiari to move Michael Bennett around when you're trying to go to the Super Bowl? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand. He was trying to outsmart the other coaches, probably, and he was trying to be, like, too nice or too naive, I think. But I was just curious, because actually I don't know about that, but you think Rodgers could have changed that play? He could have changed into a pass play?
I think he probably had the opportunity, but I think he probably bought into... You know, McCarthy probably had the idea we're gonna run the ball here. If we get a first down, the game is over. If we don't, we're gonna hope our defense can hold up. And I think Rodgers probably didn't want to go against McCarthy's strategy there. So I think he probably could have, but I don't think he saw anything so obviously that he thought he could. I think if he would have seen a really obvious mismatch that he liked in a pass play, I think he would have. I don't think there was anything that was such a big mismatch that he wanted to change it to a pass play just because they had run two runs. So I think he probably made the right call, that he listened to what McCarthy wanted to do, didn't see something overwhelming to change it to a pass play, and it didn't work. So hindsight is 20/20. But I think he could have. He just didn't see something that warranted a big mismatch and a change in play.
Okay, thank you.
And of course, we're talking about Seattle.
Yeah, of course. And I think we're gonna we're gonna take that game with us for many, many years to come, probably. So it's not gonna be easy to forget about that. So
no, certainly not.
And are you guys planning on seeing some games at Lambeau this year?
Yep, we are gonna go hopefully to the Seattle game that Sunday night, and then there's at least one more that we'll have to make it to. They kind of fan media or bloggers, however you want to refer to us guys, do something called Throwback Weekend.
Oh my god, that is my dream to go. So I'm not able to go. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we're gonna do that again this year. So that should be a lot of fun. And like I said, you know, that's something that we do, and that is a lot of fun. So that those would be two for sure, and you know, hopefully more, but I don't know.
I went to three games last season. I did the Throwback Weekend. Ross and I went to the Patriots game, and then I also went to the Sunday night game against the Bears when we ran them out of the stadium. So hopefully it'll be about the same, about three games. It's less of a trip for me. I just have to drive an hour and a half up the road to go. So I would hope I'm able to get to about three games.
Do you have season tickets or no?
No,
no. Okay.
At this rate, I think I'll have season tickets when I'm 96 or something like that.
I was thinking about ask for my son that is 1 year old. So I was trying to subscribe the request for him. So
yeah, he might have a shot, but I don't think I'm gonna make it.
Okay. And which game is the throwback this year?
San Diego game, I think.
San Diego?
Yep, I think it's San Diego.
We have a friend of ours that we have a Facebook group, and there is a friend of ours is going to San Diego game this year, and I think there is one that is going to San Francisco game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Seattle game with other two or three guys, I think, and so I'll be there. Okay. So if you'll be there, we can have a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 beer if you want, and
we're very good at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, so we had to definitely to do that, and
absolutely,
yeah, and no, there is, I think there is any more Salvatore that's going for Italy that we know. No, I think that's it.
I think
that's it. No, there is like
Detroit
a
game.
Yeah, Francesco is going to the Detroit game. So pretty much we're covering from Italy a lot of games this year.
Good.
That makes my 8-hour drive not seem very impressive anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to the Seattle game with the other two guys, and we are flying here. I'm flying from Venice, and they are flying from Rome, and we're just going to stop in Chicago. And I think on Friday we're going to be up there. So, and then we leave on Monday. So it's going to be a short day. For sure, it's going to be an emotional day. Hopefully, we're going to kick their ass. So that's what we are waiting for. And I was there like in 2009, and I was in love with the atmosphere. I was in love with the people, and it couldn't be better than that, actually. So I'm really looking forward to have a great time over there.
Oh, it's always a great time. It's you never regret going to a game at Lambeau. It's always... Even if they lose, it's always a great time.
And
I'm excited even just to go up there for practice.
Yeah, I was saying that as we realized last Saturday, even if there's not anything on the field except for a Jumbotron that shows an induction, it's a lot of fun going to Lambeau.
Oh yeah, plenty of people enjoy just walking into that building. There doesn't have to be anything going on, but yeah, that induction seemed like it was something special. Neither of us were able to go to that, but yeah, the people in Green Bay really, and Wisconsin as a whole, really rally around everything that happens with the team, and it's a great atmosphere.
Well, what are you fine with the decision to take him back, Brett Favre, or you still have some kind of angry towards him?
I'm over it at this point. I've welcomed him back into my Packers life. I have his MVP poster from 95 and 96 hanging on my wall, so I've forgiven Favre. I've moved on from all my anger.
Yeah, I'm not upset about it anymore. I mean, it's It's fine.
Okay, guys, we talk a little bit about the Packers, so the past, the present, the future, and let's hope that everything's going to be fine this year, and maybe we'll make another episode during the season. Who knows? Thank you for being with us, for having us with you. It's been fun. Go, Pack, go. Hi, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for having us, guys. This was great.
Yeah, it was really fun to do that together. I really hope that we're going to do it again. And go, Pack, go from Italy.
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game, even if from time to time they've been a little lame. How could you ever love a team with Jim McMahon? Not even Porky Pig was as big a ham. They got a reputation that's mostly based on luck. The Bears still suck. 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 Really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck. If you drive to Soldier Field, they make you pay a toll. For cripes sake, they only won one lousy Super Bowl. They make fun of Wisconsin, but we don't get upset. Where do you think that they're all headed every chance they get? We don't really hold a grudge, cause this is all in fun. As far as football rivalries, we're both number one. Still, we wouldn't mind seeing Ditka run over by a truck, cause the Bears still suck. 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 Really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck. All the ladies now.
Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
Everybody now. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears.